As a matter of fact, accused Smith knew of the intoxicated condition of the complainant just before him and accused Silkwood alighted from the van when they had reached the Alaba Pier. The complainant was so intoxicated that he had to be assisted by Silkwood in carrying her out of the said vehicle. These circumstances were clearly and categorically testified to by prosecution witness Joseph Kong Hoon. This court has no reason to doubt the foregoing testimonies. This court has no reason to doubt the foregoing testimonies, there being no showing that said witnesses had ulterior motives in testifying as they did, contrary to the claim of accused Carpentier. It is clear from those testimonies and those of the complainant that accused Smith knew of her intoxication. As the evidence clearly showed, accused Smith took advantage of the intoxication of the complainant in perpetrating the subject felony. True, there may be no direct evidence to show that the crime of rape was committed, yet there are circumstantial evidences which, taken together, sufficiently overcomes the presumption of innocence of accused Smith, and these are. Number one, he was the one who danced last with the complainant. Two, he was the one who brought out the complainant from the club in his bath. Three, he was the one who loaded the complainant into the van. Fourth, he was the one who occupied the back seat of the van, and with him was the complainant. Five, he was the one who was on top of the complainant, who resisted, evaded his kisses, pushed him, and fought him back before she lost consciousness due to the accumulated effects of the alcoholic drinks she had taken. Five, he admitted having had carnal knowledge of the complainant. Six, he and Silkwood were the ones who carried her outside of the van after that sexual intercourse. Seven, the complainant felt pain in her private part after she had carnal knowledge of her. Nine, the complainant, realizing that she was raped, tried to look for Smith but failed to find him. Ten, the complainant revealed the sexual assault on her, although not immediately, to the guard at Neptune Club when she tried to find accused Smith after her violation to her stepsister Annalisa, to her boyfriend Brian Goodrich, to her mother, and to the doctor who first examined her. 11. Her examination revealed that she suffered contusions on different parts of the arms and legs and her labia minoras, which are consistent with sexual assault or non-consensual sex or rape. 12. Her vagina canal elicited unusual tenderness when an internal examination was conducted on her. 13. Her panty had seminal stains of Smith. The condom used by Smith had his seminal stains. And 14, when the panty, condom, and the blood samples of the complainant and Smith were examined using DNA analysis, it was found that male DNA profile on the panty, condom, blood samples matched those of Smith. All this taken into account, the court is morally convinced that accused Lance Corporal Daniel Smith committed the crime charge. He admitted having sexual intercourse with complainant Suzette Nicholas, who knew was intoxicated and rendered unconscious by the accumulated effects of the different alcoholic drinks she had previously taken in succession at the time of the commission of the felony subject of this case. Thus, she could not have consented to the bestial acts of the said accused. Moreover, the resistance and the struggle she made against Smith, the shouts she made prior to the commission of the rape, also show that she did not consent to his plan of sexually molesting her. Rape as a harrowing experience is usually not remembered in detail. For such an offense is not something which enhances one's life experience and therefore worth recalling or reliving, but rather something which causes deep psychological wounds and casts a stigma upon the victim for the rest of her life, no matter that it was never her fault that she met such a fate. Rape is a grave physical violation. It debases a woman's dignity, leaves a scar in her body and soul that not even time can heal. It subjects the woman's honor to scorn and its violation to public condemnation. Rape is chilling, naked sadism. It is marked by the savagery and brutality of the assault on the helpless victim's person and privacy. Thus, a severe penalty is meted out by the state. As parens patriae, for this abhorrent crime, revealing the clear legislative intent to protect women against the unbridled bestiality of persons who cannot control the libidinous proclivities. Wherefore, premises considered, for failure of the prosecution to adduce sufficient evidence against accused, Staff Sergeant Chad Bryan Carpentier, Lance Corporal Keith Silkwood, and Lance Corporal Dominic Duplantis, all of the U.S. Marine Corps assigned at the USS Essex, are hereby acquitted of the crime charge. The prosecution, having presented sufficient evidence against Lance Corporal Daniel J. Smith, also of the U.S. Marine Corps, assigned at the USS Essex, this court hereby finds him guilty beyond reasonable doubt of the crime of rape, defined under Article 266-A, Paragraph 1A of the Revised Penal Code, as amended by RA 8353, and in accordance with Article 266-B, first paragraph thereof, hereby sentences him to suffer the penalty of reclusion perpetua, together with accessory penalties provided for under Article 41 of the same code. Pursuant to Article 5, paragraph 10 of the Visiting Forces Agreement entered into by the Philippines and the United States, accused Lance Corporal Daniel J. Smith shall serve his sentence in the facilities that shall hereafter be agreed upon by appropriate Philippine and United States authorities. Pending agreement on such facilities, accused Lance Corporal Daniel J. Smith is hereby temporarily committed to the Makati City Jail. Accused Lance Corporal Daniel J. Smith is further sentenced to indemnify complainant Suzette S. Nicholas in the amount of $50,000 as compensatory damages plus $50,000 as moral damages, given this fourth day of December 2006 at Makati City, Philippines. Signed, Benjamin T. Pozon, presiding judge.
If your honor, please, may we make a manifestation with respect to the committee.
All right, that was a guilty verdict for Lance Corporal Daniel Smith and a not guilty verdict for all the others, all the other three Marines from the U.S. That would be Carpentier, Duplantis, and Silkwood. And this is something that follows a case that had been followed by the public for almost a year. This would have matured by December 27, as required by the Visiting Forces Agreement. And, well, they resolved this quite ahead of time. It took quite a while still for, of course, the prosecution. And considering that it has now been decided that a crime had indeed been committed, this 1 year was actually a lifetime for somebody like Suzette Nicolas, a.k.a. Nicole. So right now, there is mixed reactions from the group, but I would say overwhelmingly for the benefit of those who wanted a conviction. Now, it really now depends on the U.S. and the Philippines as to where this sentence shall be served. Of course, we also know from all of the legal opinions that there may be an appeal, in this case, to a higher court here in the Philippines, while Lance Corporal Daniel Smith is temporarily detained at the Makati City Jail. The verdict by the judge was based on the articles in the revised penal code in the Philippines as well as the visiting forces agreement. And now we have with us to talk more about what just happened and what we just heard, we have Attorney Zenaida Reyes, who is president of Circulo de Abogadas, and Professor Rachel Khan, who is chair of the UP Journalism Department. Good afternoon to you, Attorney Reyes.
Good afternoon, Karina.
And to Professor Khan.
Good afternoon, Karina.
Okay. So you were saying that you would have expected at least Silkwood to also suffer and pay for a crime that had actually been committed, as far as your appreciation of the facts of the case were. Why is that?
Well, I think, well, of the three who were acquitted, he was the one who helped Corporal Smith out to carry the victim out of the van. So definitely he was aware of what had happened. Mm-hmm. And I think he should have at least gotten some penalty for being an accessory there. Mm-hmm. And it strikes me that they were acquitted so easily when, of course, while they did not really help,
Daniel Smith in committing the crime.
They did not help Smith in committing the crime. They did not do anything, mm-hmm. and they were perfectly aware of what was going on.
Right. So in your opinion, his sin of omission was just as grave as a sin of commission, meaning that they did not report the crime, and they actually witnessed it and even watched. Right. And from the... Well, Attorney Reyes, is it really that way when they decide on a case? They have opinions injected into the presentations of both prosecution and defense.
You're talking of the decision-making.
Yes.
Yes. As a matter of fact, part of the decision is to narrate the facts first. Mm-hmm. Facts as presented.